Kreishir Masechta Zvachim Teflam Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on the second line. Lema Masaile. In our previous shir, Ula had introduced the concept that Bia B'mikseh Shma Bia, that even if somebody was partially in the Beis HaMikdash, the Halacha considers him as if he was, as if he's already in today Azara. So says the Lema Masaile. Can we suggest that the following Brisa supports what Ula teaches us? Because the Brisa says, Kol HaSmichas, when a person brings a carbon, he has to do smicha on the carbon. It says the Brisa, Shahayasham, all the smichas that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, Karani Aleichem, Kar Aleim Ani, the Halacha I say, says about them, the take of the smicha shchita. That immediately after the shchita takes place, the shchita should take place, as the pasuk says, explains Rashi, v'shochat v'samach, and from there the Mishnah Masechta Menachos, Daf Tzadik Gimel teaches us, b'makom shesoimchim shoichtim, that the same place where the smicha takes place, the shchita takes place, and furthermore says the Gemara, v'tekef the smicha shchita, the smicha should be done immediately right before the shchita. And Rashi adds that not only is there halacha that the shchita and the shmita should be taking place one after the other, but Rashi actually holds that they're done in the same spot. However, Tosfos says that they don't have to be done at the exact same spot. And Tosfos says the distance between where the smicha was done and the shchita was done is actually the distance of 22 amma. And the source for that halacha is our Gemara, because our Gemara is teaching us that the Mitzayra did smicha at Shar Nikner, and the shchita was done by the Mizbeach, as we're going to learn. And the Mishnah Masechta Midas teaches us that the distance from the Shah Nikner until the place where the Shechita was done was 22 Amma. And that becomes the source for the Halacha that whenever we do Netilas Yadayim, the Netilas Yadayim should be done within 22 Ammas of where we're going to eat. It shouldn't be more than a distance of 22 Ammas. So says the Gemara, except from the smicha that the Mitzayra did on his carbon ashram, that he was standing by the Han Nikner, he was standing by Shah Nikner, that was the Shah on the east side of the Azara, and the Mitzayra would stand within the entranceway of that Shah. The reason he specifically stood there, because that Shah was not sanctified with Kedushas Azara, and he, because he's a Mechusa Kippurim, because he hasn't brought his Kabbonis yet, may not enter the Azara. So since he may not enter the Azara, the place for him to stand was by the Shar Nikner. And as he stood at the Shar Nikmer, their halacha is that he should do the smicha. And then they took the animal for Shechita. The Tzayra cannot enter the Azara until they do on him the sprinkling, as we discussed so many times, of the blood of Chatas Kaban Asham on his right ear, on his right thumb, and his right toe. If we're going to say that partial entry is not considered as if he entered the Beis HaMikdash, so why does he have to stand in the Shah Nikner? Lyle Yodai, why doesn't he just put his hand into the Azara and do the smicha, and we'll be able to do the shchita immediately, right there, and there won't be any problem in violating tekev l'smicha shchita? Answers the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yosef Hamani, who is the Tana of that Braisa? That Braisa is following the opinion of Yosef Yehuda. Damar, Merchik Tzofin. We know we've learned a number of times that kachi kachim, when we speak about the kachi kachim, shchitason betzofin. The shchit of kachi kachim had to be done on the north side of the mizbeach. And the question is, where is that? And we learned earlier on a masechta, at the beginning of the masechta, actually, a machlokes where that is. And according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the area of Tzofen, which is the only place where we could do the shchit of kachi kachim, is right on the side of the mizbeach. Anything past that spot, whether towards the Beis HaMikdash in one direction, that's the Mizrach direction, or in the other direction towards the Azara, that is not considered a place where we could do Shchitas Kachi Kachim. Because his opinion is, the Pasuk says by Shchitas Kachi Kachim, Al Yerach HaMizbeach, it has to be done on the side of the Mizbeach. And as we learned, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon says, you could do it by the side of the Mizbeach, but you could also do it towards the Beis HaMikdash. And we learned the opinion of Rebbe that you could do it anywhere, even towards the Azar. But according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, you're going to have to walk to the area next to the Mizbeach. Until there is 22 Amma. So even if he could put his hands into the Azara, even if the Mitzari could put his hand into Azara, it won't solve the problem of Tekev L'smicha Shchita. Here our Gemara has taught us how critical it is to do smicha on top of a carbon. It's an essential part of the bringing of a carbon. There's a minig. Many people have the minig, of course, to do kaporis, Erev Yom Kippur, or during a seres Yimei Tshuva. And some have the minig, but that before they do the kaporis on the chicken, they put their hands on top of the chicken. Because our Gemara is teaching us, take of a smicha shchita. However, there are many suggest that we shouldn't do it for two reasons. Number one, if we're going to be doing smicha on the kaparis, people may believe that you could do smicha on something not in the Beis HaMikdash, which of course is not true. We only do smicha on what's done inside the Beis HaMikdash. The other issue is that we do kaparis on a chicken, but we never bring a chicken as a carbon. And therefore, the halacha is that there's no point in doing the smicha on the chicken. Chicken's not a bird that's used for a carbon. So as we said, that our Tosfos says that our Gemara that teaches us tekev l'smicha shchita, and Tosfos said that the distance from doing the smicha to the shchita was 22 amos. So since there's also a halacha of tekev netilas yadayim ha-moitzi, that the moitzi should be made right after the netilas yadayim. So because of that, Tosfos says the amount of time or the distance somebody should walk from doing the netilas yadayim till when he eats should not be more than 22 amma. The Magen Avraham and Siman Kuf and Siman Kuf Samach Vav Sifkat and Gimel says that according to the Havamina, that even according to the Mandam, Bia B'miksa Shema Bia, so you could do smicha right, doing smicha right at the entrance of the Shad Nikner, and right away there we could do the Shchita, because Rebbe says that the entire north side is kosher. So we see from here that if you hold that you're going to do, as the Magen Avraham, the smicha and the Shad Nikner, and the shchita inside the Azara, which is literally one step away, it's already not considered takif. So ask the Magen Avraham, Tosfos says that it's 22 amam, but according to Rebbe, it would be even one step. So the Gra says that indeed, l'chatchila one should do the smicha immediately, one should do the Netilas Yadayim right next to where he's going to eat. What Tosfos means to say is that if you didn't do it immediately, which is the proper way of doing it, at least don't let it go past 22 amos. The Chacham Tzvi actually points out that the halacha is very clear that it should be right away. The Tzayin Kedoshim actually says that the Gemara could have made that point, that from our Gemara it seems that you should have one step away. But he says the Gemara wanted to prove that even according to the man, that even according to any opinion, it'll be an issue. The Sefer Aloch L'Moshe says that what we know, what Tosfos means to say, is that once you walk 22 amos, we know it's not considered takif. He says that Tosfos never meant to say that right away that 22 amos is acceptable. He meant to say is that if you walk 22 amos or more, then for sure we know that's an issue. It may be that indeed Tosfos would agree that looks that even a smaller amount might be an issue. The Gemara asked the Gemara. So if we have this issue for Levit Pishpish, why don't we just make another entranceway in the door of, in the wall of the Azara, right next to the opening, right next to the Mizbeach, and the Metzora will be able to do smicha over there, and it'll be right next to the place of the Shechita. Answers the Gemara, Abai v'Rav Adami Tavayu, Hakel b'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alai Hiskel, Kom Melech Satavnis. From here, we learn that David HaMelech was instructed on how to build the base HaMikdash, and since he was instructed to build the base of Middash, we can't just add walls and doors. We have to build it strictly according to the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. So Tosfos asked that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us that there was a whole procedure that took place when they expanded the Azara. So if that's the case, so we see that they weren't strict, that it has to be specifically the way David HaMelech was told to do. So Tosfos says that maybe it's a chiddush. Tosfos says that maybe the outline, the structure that David HaMelech made is not necessarily absolutely required, but the fact that the Metzora had to stand the Shah Nikner was something that they had as an acceptance. And since that they have to do it by Shah Nikner, that's why making another entranceway would not be an option. Ikadamri, but there's a different way of refuting this raya. Rabbi Yosef, that Rabbi Yosef says that even if you'll hold the Biva Mixus in an extra Biya, and even if you're passing like Rebbe, that you could do the Shechita, any part of the north. It doesn't have to be right next to the Mizbeach, but there's another halacha. The halacha is Kol HaSameach, whoever did Smicha Rosh Shavarubei Machnes, he has to not just put his hands into the Azara, he has to put most of his body into the Azara. My Tama, what is the reason for that? So says the Gemara, because the halacha is that when it's done, the halacha is Kol Koicha Binan. The person who's doing smicha has to use all of his might, and if he's not going to be standing mostly in the Azara, Hilchos Lefshir, it won't be possible for him to do the smicha properly. And since he has to do it properly, therefore, there's no option but putting his hands, but standing in the Shah Nikner, because he can't go mostly into the Azara. The Baal Turim, and Parshas VeYikra says a very bechiddush. The pasuk says by Karban Shlomim, the Torah says if somebody brings Ben Bakr, somebody brings a big animal, then the halacha of a samach yodai. But if he brings a small animal, it says a samach es yodai. So the Baal HaTurim says that why is there a different warning used by the smicha of a bakr versus the smicha of an ais? Because he says a bakr is a big animal. And since it's a big animal, the animal could withstand if a person does smicha b'kol koichai. a goat, which is a small animal, you can't do smicha with kol koichai, and therefore, since you can't do smicha with kol koichai, so therefore, it says es yodai, don't do it that way. So I saw that the stipler, of course, asks, our Gemara just said that the halacha requires that smicha be done with kol koichai. So if the halacha requires that smicha be done with kol koichai, how could our Gemara, how could the Baal Turim suggest is that when we do smicha on certain animals, we don't have to have a kol koichai? So he says that what is meant, what the Baal Turim means to say, the Baal Turim does not chas v'shalom mean to say that you don't have to do the kol koichai. The halacha requires kol koichai, and if the halacha requires kol koichai, there is no way to avoid kol koichai. What the Baal Turim means to say is that the amount of strength you use to do smicha on a big animal is a different amount of energy than on a small animal. Because if you're going to use that same amount of energy to do smicha on a small animal, the animal is going to fall. And of course, the purpose of doing smicha is not that the animal shechas v'shalom fall. And therefore, the b'kol koicha, what the Baal Turim means to say, is that the amount of energy here and the amount of energy there is not the same. Says the Gemara, we started the shiur with the concept of tekel smicha shchita. So says the Gemara, Microsoft, if kasav smichas oshem midiraisa, if the halacha is that smicha, if that carbon oshem requires smicha, and there's a halacha of tekel smicha shmita, which is the raisa, that there's a chiv the raisa, that the smicha and the shchita be done one right after another. So ask the Gemara, then the mitzvah should be allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azorah, to do a smicha. Because the Rachman Omer, that's the Torah answers. So I saw that Tosfos asks the obvious question. We've learned in our Masechta, and we're going to learn this many times, that if a person is personally unable to come bring his carbon, the halacha tells that individual he should send the carbon with someone else. If he's tamei, for example, we're going to learn about somebody tamei sending his carbon. So therefore, as Tosfos, this mitzvah, yes, we want to fulfill the obligation of take of smicha shmita, take of smicha shchita, but if we can't, so then we can't. Says Tosfos that a mitzvah doing smicha on his carbon is different than everybody else. Because everyone else does not necessarily bring his carbon when it's tamei. In fact, normally a person brings his carbon when it's tahor. Just if it happens that he's tamei, the example that we used, it's Erev Pesach, so there halacha tells him, don't bring the carbon yourself, have another person bring the carbon on your behalf. A mitzvah is always going to be tamei when he brings his carbon. By definition, as we said earlier, he's always going to be a mechusa kapurim. And therefore, the Gemara finds it difficult to say that the mitzvah should send his carbon in a case where he'll never have an option but to send his carbon. That sometimes you're going to have to send your carbon, we understand. But that you should always have to bring your carbon, that is something that's difficult for the Gemara to understand. Amar Rav Adba Masna, so why is the halacha that the mitzvah should not be able to go into the Azorah in order to do the smicha, in order that we should fulfill take of the smicha shchita? And says the Gemara, we're concerned, gzeira shema yabe b'siyas. He may take extra steps. And there's an interesting diuk that the Rishash makes. The shema yabe b'siyas, Rashi says, that after he'll do the smicha, we're concerned that he's going to take steps in the wrong direction, which he's not supposed to do. And the halacha is, for example, if somebody's tamei, so he has to leave the Azorah as soon as possible. He became tamei when he's in the Azorah, and he has to leave immediately, so he should. And nobody can have any issue with him if he does leave immediately. But if he takes extra steps, that's when there's an issue. So the Rishash seems to say that Rashi's opinion is that we're worried he's going to take extra steps after he does the smicha. But if he takes extra steps before he does the smicha, that Rashi seems not to be concerned about. Others, however, say that the Gemara is concerned Shema Yarbib sees any step that's not necessary that he'll take is not something that should be done. Ikadami Amr Vada Bamasna, Smichas Ashim Midaraisa, the take of Smich L'Shmita L'Adaraisa. He says just the opposite. Yes, of course, the Mitzayra who's bringing you the current Ashim has to do Smicha. But this halach that we began with take of Smicha Shchita is not absolutely essential. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that? May say, the Pasuk says, regarding somebody who brings a carbon oila. Says the Pasuk, Samach Yad al Rosh Oila. And then the Pasuk says, V'shachar es banabak lefnei Hashem. Mas Micha. So we learn from here, Mas Micha should only be done with somebody who's tar. Av Shchita can only be done with Tahirim, with somebody who's tar. Vi Amrit lav deraisa. If we're saying that the halach of tekel shchita is not a din deraisa, so says the Gemara, tamei neimi mishkach slav. In other words, we're saying that a tamei can't do smicha. Why can't a tamei do smicha? Because it has to be in the azara. But if we're learning that the halach of tekel shchita is not a deraisa, and you don't have to do the smicha right before the shchita, so then let the Tamei do the smicha outside of the Azara. And then we'll bring the animal. And then we'll bring the animal into the Azara. And we'll do the Shechita. If you're saying, the Gemara's question is, if we're saying the take of the smicha Shechita is not a Chiv Daraisa, why are we saying that somebody who's Tamei can never do, that somebody who's Tamei can never do the smicha? Says the Gemara, Ela Epoch, indeed, we have to reverse it. Smichas Asher Mitzar Lav Deraisa. The doing the smicha by a carbon Asher is not a Deraisa, but take the smicha Shchita Deraisa. And therefore, since the Chi of doing smicha is the Rabbanon, Chazal were not prepared to relax the Isser of a Mitzayra, who's a Mechusa Kippurim, that to enter the Beis HaMikdash, to enter the Azara, just that he should be able to do smicha, which is only a chiv de rabbon. Says the Gemara, we learned in our previous year, the Gemara brought down the sugya of bia b'miksa shma bia, is partial entering into the Azara considered like you entered there or not? And the Gemara asked the question regarding this Mitzayra, who 8th day is an Erev Pesach, and he also had an emission that day, so he's allowed to go into to the Harabayas to do what he needs to do, so he should be able to eat the Karm Pesach tonight, even though he's a Mitzayra. But the question is, now he's a Balkeri who might not enter the Harabayas. And if Biba Mitzvah Shema Biya, and he's putting his hands into the Azara for the sprinkling on the blood on his right ear, right toe, and right thumb, so how could the Essa of Pesach be doicha that an essay of a tamei going into the Azara? Says the Gemara, when Ula said that bia b'miksa shma bia, that's only lingam malchus itmar. That bia b'miksas is not going to have a chiv karis. In other words, even though normally if somebody chas v'shalom who's tamei enters the Beis HaMikdash, there's a chiv karis, but that chiv karis is only if he completely or most of the body, Rosh Verubai, entered in the Azara. If it wasn't Rosh Verubai that entered the Azara, there's only a Chiv Malkus, and therefore the Chiv Pesach of bringing a carbon, then that will override, the beer b'mixus. The Briskarov tries to understand. He asks, if we hold the bia b'miksa shma bia, so then it should be a chiv karis. And if bia b'miksa lo shma bia, then it shouldn't be a chiv karis either. he says that there are two separate halachas. There's a halacha that somebody who's tamei may not enter into the base, into the azara. And he suggests that Ravina is going to hold that Biba mixes lo shmo Biba, and therefore someone tamei entering into the azara is not a violation of the isra of somebody tamei coming into the azara. But then there's another ishtu, and that is that you're not allowed to bring something tamei into the azara. It has nothing to do with a person. Anything tamei may not be in the azara. For that, there's where we say Biba mixes shmo Biba. But for bringing something tamei into the azara, not a person walking tamei into the azara, there's only a chiv malchus, and there's no chiv kares. That's what the Gemara is saying, that the chiv malchus is waived in order to be able to bring the carbon Pesach. Says the Gemara, Kiyos Ravin, says the Gemara, Ravin has a different question, a way of answering. How does the if we hold Biya b'Mukzis Shema Biya, how does the Metzora stick his hands and feet into the Azara? Kiyos Ravin Omer Rebbe Vua, Linyan Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh Shitma. Reish Lakish did not say the Halacha Biya b'Mukzis Shema Biya, only regarding the halacha of a tamei that touched something kodesh, that he gets malchus. The itmar tamei shnagu b'kodesh. Somebody's tamei touched something with kodesh. V'shlokish omer loika Rav Yochanan ein loika. V'shlokish omer loika. V'shlokish says you get malchus because the pasuk says b'chol kodesh leisiga v'lamigdash leitavai. Rav Yochanan ein loika because that pasuk is speaking about betrumiksev. That pasuk is speaking about the iser of a tamei touching truma. And it's talking, as Rashi explains, the pasuk is speaking about a yoledes that has to go to the mikvah after she has a baby, but she's a tful yoim, and if she's married to kohen, she may not eat truma until the day is over. And what we're learning from here is that till when the day is over, because kohen shlo siga admalais yumei tahara, even though she didn't bring a carbon yet, and she's a mechusa kippurim, she could still eat truma. So there's an obvious question when we learn this piece of Gemara. He's saying, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that the isra because kohen shlo siga is referring to truma and not to kachim. And according to that explanation, for touching truma when you're tamei, you'll get malchus, but not for touching kachim. Even though it's hard to understand that, because we know that kodesh is always treated stricter than truma is stricter. And to say that we learned the halacha of kodesh from a kal v'chomer from truma is also a difficult approach, because we know there's a rule of ein einshim menadin. We can't rely on a kal v'chomer. We can't rely on a kal v'chomer to prove that something is osur. So I did not see that how the Rishonim are able to answer that question. Why is the Torah stricter by truma than it is by kodesh? Ask the Gemara, Rish Lakish, I crawl Ach Yudasi. Is this pasuk? So now, according to this, Rish Lakish is not teaching us anything regarding the halacha of Biya b'mikzas Shma Biya. Ask the Gemara, Rish Lakish, I crawl Ach Yudasi. According to Rish Lakish, is that the purpose of this pasuk? Hami Baile, Ashar Loich Pasuk Kodesh, that somebody who is Tamei may not eat kachim, answers the Itmar, and the Gemara says, where do we know this from? We learn ashara la'oichel kodesh minayin. How do we know that somebody's tummy is not allowed to eat meat that's kodesh? Rish Lakish amar. He says, b'kol kodesh le'siga. There's not allowed to touch anything. Ask the Sfasemis, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that somebody who's tamei may not eat kodesh? As we're learning, and we're going to learn right now, somebody's tamei is not allowed to touch kodesh. So somebody whose tamei may not touch kodesh, he obviously may not eat it. Answers the Svasemis that it's possible to touch. It's possible to touch to eat kodesh without touching it by holding something that somebody else put the food in his mouth. So he didn't touch the kodesh, but he didn't touch the kodesh, but he ate the kodesh. Mishlok shama kol kodesh leisiga. Rabbi Shachar Amit Tani Bardla. Asya Tumasa Tumasa Matimas Migdash. The Torah says regarding somebody Tomei eating Kaidish, but Nefesh Shark Bosom Zevach Ashlamim Ashel Hashem Tumasa Alov, the Nechrasa Nefeshim Emel. And the Torah says regarding somebody who's Tomei and walks into the base of Migdash, Ka and Negeb and Mace, but Nefesh Adam Ashiyumas Vulay Ischata, as Mishkan Hashem Timei, the Nechrasa Nefeshim Yisrael, Kimei Nidalai Zarkalov Tomei Yoitimasaba. Malahalon, just like when we speak about somebody tamei entering the base of Migdash, onish v'hizr, the pasuk says, there's a pasuk that says, zocha nekeva tishalechu, amachutz lomachta tishalchav loy tamas machnemesh and ishaychem b'soychem, afkan, regarding tamei teichin kodesh, onish v'hizr. But the bottom line is that we need the pasuk to teach it b'chol kodesh leisiga, that somebody who's tamei may not eat kodesh. So how can we say that the pasuk is coming to teach us about a tamei who touches kodesh? Answer the Mara, tamei shenaga b'kodesh, the locha that somebody's tamei is not allowed to touch kodesh, we learn b'daf grechman b'losh negiya. The fact that the Torah presented this wording of this pasuk b'chol kodesh leisiga, so we learn from the word b'chol kodesh leisiga that even just touching it. And as har loichel, Medishk is Kodesh Lemigdash. So the way I saw the Rishonim explain this Gemara, what the Gemara means to say is that we're learning from here, from this Pasuk, we're actually learning two halachas. We're learning the halacha of a Tamei not being allowed to touch Kodesh, and we're learning the halacha of a Tamei not being allowed to eat Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Tanik Avasid Rish Lakish. There's a brice that supports what Reb Lakish says, that a Tamei who eats Kodesh, Tamei is not allowed to eat Kodesh, is based on this Pasuk, because the brice says, because Kodesh le'seichel, as hara lo'eichel, that somebody is not allowed to eat Kodesh when he's Tamei. At the time as hara lo'eichel, does the Pasuk speak about that? Or maybe all the Pasuk is Tamei to teach us is that somebody who's Tamei may not touch Kodesh. Tamalimer, b'chol kodesh le'gavah migdash le'sava, makish kodesh le'migdash, ma migdash. Just like when we speak about migdash, dava shiyish by netilas neshama, that there's an einish kares which involves a person losing his life. Af kodesh dava shiyish by netilas neshama. If we're going to say that the pasuk is strictly speaking about nageya, the telas neshama. Even if there's an issue for somebody tamei to touch kodesh, there is no chiyuv karis. It must be that the pasuk is speaking about a chila. Earlier in our shiur, we discussed the halacha of take of netilas yadayim hamotzi, that we're not allowed to waste more than 22 minutes. And of course, the question is that many people have a distance of more than 22 amah from their sink to where they eat. And how could they do netilas yadayim that way? And this question is answered already by the Prima Gadim in the Sefer Esh Lavram, that since drawing the hands after netilas yadayim is an essential part of the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, so therefore, he says if one has a longer distance than 22 amos, he should just keep on drawing his hand when he should just keep on drawing his hands until he gets to the table and he won't have that hefsek of 22 amma. But I saw that Rabbi Yashiv questions that heter. Because Rabbi Yashiv says that when indeed do we say that Netilas Yadayim is an essential part of the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, so he says it's only in a case where you didn't use a revius to wash your hands. But if you use more than a revius to wash your hands, then he says, then the drawing is not an essential part. And obviously, most people use more than a revius to wash their hands, and therefore we don't have the heter of the prima godim to have a hefsik of more than 22 amma. We've also learned the concept of biba mikzah shma biya. A partial entering into the Beis HaMikdash is considered entering. And this is the basis for a minig that some people have, that they don't put their hands, their fingers, between the cracks of the wall of the Kais Lamaravi, because they're concerned of biba mikzah shma biya. The Avni Nezer in Yeridei Simen Tuf Nun has a discussion about this. Is somebody allowed to put his fingers into the cracks in the Kais Lamaravi? And he says that the halacha is that, he says, it really depends, what is the Kais a wall of? If the Kais of the wall is a wall of Dazara, it would be indeed a concern, according to the opinions that we're learning in our Gemara, the Biba Mikzah Shma Biya. But according to the opinions that the Kais is the wall of the Harabayis, we don't have the halacha of biba mikzah shma biya regarding the Harabayis, because he says there's a fundamental difference between the azara and the Harabayis. When we speak about the Harabayis, it's only the ritzpa, the floor of the Harabayis, that was niskadish. But when we speak about the azara, it wasn't just the ritzpah of Azara was in the Skadish, but the entire avir, the entire airspace of the Harabayis was in the Skadish. So therefore, if we don't believe, so if the, it's a wall of the Harabayis, and only the ritzpah of the Harabayis is an issue, so then says the Avni Nezer, there is no problem in putting your fingers into the crack. However, we know that many Gedal Yisrael didn't put their fingers into the crack. The Briskerov was Makbid, the Stipler, and I saw that the Chazon Ish was Makbid to stand 11 Amma. I'm not exactly sure what the number of 11 Amma comes from, but he didn't stand within 11 Amma of the Kaisel. Rev Moshe Sternberg in the Shas Chuvas, Chuvas Van Hugus, Chelik Dalat Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, says that the Deres always stayed away 2 Amma from the actual Kaisel. Because he says that the reason he stayed 2 Ammas away, because there's a concern that the Kaisel might have moved away from its original spot. And anywhere which is in within 2 Amma of the Kaisel is already considered part of the that's really considered already the Kaisel. And if we all do not let him stand to touch the area of the Kaisel, that's why he stood 2 Amma away. Furthermore, we just discussed the concept that the Avni Nezer differentiates between the Avir of the Harabayis versus the Avir of the Azara. That the Avir of the Azara was Niskadish, but not the Avir of the Harabayis. This is actually also very relevant lalocha. There was a question that there was a shul that had a tall ceiling, and that tall ceiling was originally all part of the men's shul. But they decided to build a balcony in that shul, in the airspace, which was originally part of the men's shul, and that balcony would serve as the Ezra's Noshim. And the question that comes up, the Masham discusses it, and other Paiskim discuss it, is that considered of a lowering of the Kedusha? Till now, it was a place where men daven, and men have a chiyuv d'oraisa to daven, and now it's being used for a place where women will daven that don't have a chiyuv, that don't have that same chiyuv to daven. But if we're learning now that the concept of Aver being the Skadesh is only said by the Azara, nowhere else. So it's certainly, if it's not said by the Harabayis, it's certainly not said in a regular shul either. if it's not said in a regular shul either, the concept of the avir being the skadish and then lowering that kedusha would not be a relevant discussion.